Here we go.
Look up on the wall, baby. Hand me down my shoe line. Look up on the wall, baby. Hand me down my shoe line. You can call your mother long distance. Didn't expect nobody home. The city don't bear you, baby. Lord, I believe the county will. You made your last mistake. You're going way out on the hill.
That is some hot playing.
Yeah, it's kind of different, you know, coming into the studio and doing it kind of an acoustic version of it. But that's pretty close to what it sounds like on the record with bass and drums added, you know. It's,
and we surely do appreciate your coming by and playing live on Mixed Bag. The name of the new album from which that is from is Guitar Slinger.
Right.
And that certainly describes you.
Records.
You know what I love about the credit? That song is called Boot Hill, and I was looking for a writer credit, and I love what it says here. Writer and publisher unknown.
Nobody knows. Sly Williams was the guy that put out, he put out one single, 145 in the early 60s. and nobody knows who the guy is, where he came from. Never heard anything else from him. I mean, no, actually, there's nothing known about. Nobody can find out who Sly Williams is.
Isn't that one of the great?
Sly's wish is listening.
One of the great things about this music, of course, though, is that it is handed along from person to person, musician to musician, generation to generation, through the years.
And each person kind of adds their own little thing to it. You know, that's the great thing about the blues, is it's always changing, but it stays the same.
Yeah.
Each generation, each person within a generation will do it a little bit differently, but you see people taking credit for the same material, but the original thing might have just, nobody knows who did it. It was handed down from father to son, to where you hear the same verses in so many blues songs, where they might take just one verse from an old thing that they had heard since they were kids, and then they'll write a couple more verses and claim it as an original.
There's such wonderful continuity to all of that, though. I really appreciate it. Let me ask you this, Johnny. The new album, does it mark a turning point for you?
It's pretty much just getting back to doing the same thing that I've been wanting to do and doing live all along. It's just that when the blues craze kind of died down, none of the major labels seemed to be interested in a straight blues record. And Bruce was, you know, he's put his whole life into Alligator Records and given the older blues people a recording home, and he's been doing that now for 10 or 12 years, and it's the first record that I've been able to have released since 1980. There was a Sonny Terry record that we cut in 81 that's also being released at the same time as, mm-hmm. as my record on Alligator, and that I had done like in 81, and nobody was interested in it. Everybody, it was the same thing from everybody. Well, if you put it in a different format or update the material, fine, but if you want to do a straight blues album, we don't really think it's the right time for that. And
you anticipated one of my questions, Johnny. Have you been made to feel at times during your career that you had to make a choice between the blues and rock and roll?
That's the reason I haven't made a record since 1980. That's exactly the reason. Is that they're just, you know, everybody said the same thing. Yeah, if you come up with something new, but I wanted to do blues, you know.
Yeah.
And that, it was just. There was no way for me to do that on a major label.
Yeah, I understand.
It's just nice that people like Bruce are out there still trying. You know, there's still a way to get the blues across to people, because there's a whole new generation of kids coming up, in a lot of cases they've never been exposed to blues at all, especially the older type beat blues like Muddy Waters, you know. And
to further your cause, haven't you gotten involved in a video? Is this a first for Johnny Winter?
This is a first. It's really interesting for me, because I don't know, the music is what I really do, and the video is for me a way to get the music across. But since this is the first time, I mean, I'm really excited. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm leaving the video part of it up to people that know what they're doing. If I get the music down, that's what's important to me.
All right. Let's prove to the people that you got the music down by playing the song from the album Guitar Slinger that will be made into a video. It's called Don't Take Advantage of Me.
All right.
That's Don't Take Advantage of Me from the new Guitar Slinger album by Johnny Winter. You'll be on the lookout for the video of that one, a first for Johnny, my guest on Mixed Bag this Sunday morning. Johnny, I wanted to ask you about your relationship with Muddy Waters. How did you first encounter one another?
I had been listening to Muddy since I was 10 or 11. He'd always been one of my favorite blues people. And actually, it was one of the first blues artists that I heard on record. And I was working at a place in Austin, Texas called the Vulcan Gas Company. in old hippie days when everything was named something strange like that. Well, this was about 1968, 67 maybe even, and Muddy was playing. We opened the show for Muddy, and he played there two nights, did four shows, and we started talking then and kind of became friends. And a couple of years later, we did a soundstage show that was commemorating his 60th birthday, which was really nice on public television, you know, and Dr. John and Buddy Miles, Junior Wells, Mike Bloomfield, everybody that had been influenced by, well, you can't say everybody, but a lot of the people that had been influenced by Muddy were on the show, and that was the first time that I got to play with Muddy. Muddy was there with his band, and we all came and sat in with Muddy, you know, kind of one at a time. And that, like I say, that was the first time we actually performed together. We've been friends since 68. So then a couple of years later, his management got in touch with my management. You know, how it is, he's always on the road, and I was always on the road, so it usually works that way. You know, your manager calls my manager, and anyway, they worked out the business things. I guess the main thing that his manager wanted to know is if I would be interested in producing and playing on Muddy's next record, you know.
What did that mean to you?
To me, and I was so excited about it. It was like I'd grown up idolizing the guy. He was just one of my very favorite blues people. Something that it was almost beyond belief. It was a labor of love. I was so happy to be able to do it that there was very little nervousness. It was just excitement, you know. And the record just came together so beautifully. It took no practice. We just came in and cut the whole record in 3 days. Some of the musicians said it hadn't even worked together, but that was one of the things that was most important, was picking guys that were veteran blues players that you knew you wouldn't have to tell how to play. You know, we wanted guys that Muddy felt comfortable with, and that was what my function was, really, was to play and to make sure that Muddy felt good and was with the right musicians, and that the sound that was happening there in the studio was actually coming off on the tape.
Let's listen to a Muddy Waters song on Mixed Bag at WNEW FM. Something else that you can do live for us to wrap things up?
Yeah, I'd like to do something that's really a different thing for this part of the country. It's the kind of music actually that was a big part of my growing up. This song is it was a big hit down around New Orleans and my part of Texas, which is a half hour from Louisiana. And this is the kind of club dance music that people still love in that part of the country. You know, everybody dances close, and it's got a lot of fond memories for me. I've played it and danced to it many times. We'll try to do it. It's not going to sound exactly like the record because we've got horns and a real nice groove on the record, but it's, you know, here's a kind of an acoustic version of Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye.
Giving credit where credit is due, could you identify?
John Paris has been my bass player and harmonica player for 7 years, and John also has his own group which he plays guitar and sings for, the John Paris band, John Paris and the Jammers. John tours with me, and like I say, he's been with me for 7 years, and he's over here on the guitar.
Johnny,
tapping out.
Good luck with the Guitar Slinger album, and come back real soon.
Thank you.
You kiss.
overhead. Don't you know?